Welcome in to the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And in this week's episode, we'll be discussing the NBA as we are smack dab in the middle of the playoffs. We'll be discussing the WNBA as their new season is tipping off. And we'll have our Jack's hot take. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to also subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast on YouTube channel, which has our GTS After Dark shows produced by IMS Productions. So make sure you guys subscribe to that. And also, again, as always, don't forget to follow and turn on your post notifications for Just In Time Sports social media for all your breaking news and updates under the social media handle on literally all of your favorite social medias at J Time Sports. Same handle for all social medias. So as always, don't forget to sit back and get ready to learn something.
JTS. Yeah. Just In Time Sports.
Life is good. Life is good.
Look. This is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die is where I'm from, I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake.
He can never show you fake.
Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight.
He gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it.
This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes.
Come and get it,
he gon' tell it to you straight, to you straight.
Welcome into the show. Oh, we have been apart for far too long. A lot of stuff's been going on in my life. Ramping back up in the spring football and now getting involved with basketball and the YouTube show and, you know, sports media and stuff slowing down and the playoff schedule so weird. And none of it's an excuse, guys. I should have been with you guys a lot more. My apologies. I know I go in every year saying I'm going to do 52-52. It never works out. And I kind of told you guys I was going to kind of build in a few weeks throughout with vacation. Obviously, smack dab in the middle of the NBA playoffs, now that I had in mind. However, it kind of did work out and gave us the opportunity to talk. And I promise, I guarantee it, call it a Jack guarantee, that I will not take multiple weeks off from now. Oh, through the NBA Finals. Probably took a break before the Olympics get started. But that is the last. And then, of course, once we're back for the Olympics, football's ramping up, and then we'll be every week throughout the rest of the year. But anyway, enough of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Enough of the scheduling stuff months in advance. We will definitely make sure to be on every single week between now and the NBA Finals. Because you guys want to hear from me, I want to hear from you guys. I love your feedback, I love your interactions. And honestly, it wasn't until I was talking to my wife today that I realized I hadn't been on in a few weeks. Again, a lot of stuff's been going on in my life. Nothing bad. I don't want you guys to worry about me, but it has been a lot. And so with the YouTube show, I kind of been getting on my opinions with the YouTube show. I definitely want you guys to subscribe to the Just In Time Sports YouTube. As always, we'll link it. And then the JTS After Dark show is kind of where I've been getting my my opinions out. Definitely watch the last video or the last episode featuring my guy, Mike Bell, who's a fellow Patriots fan. So there's three Patriots fans on there, of course, with Jai from Hey Jai. A show produced by IMS Productions. It is always a interesting time with a bunch of Patriots fans on. It was during the end of the Philly Knicks game 5, I believe, was the end of the game. Mike Bell was watching. But, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel. But, again, enough of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Let's get into what you guys are here for. You guys are here for the NBA playoffs, right? You guys are here for that kind of talk. So, of course, you guys know what's going down so far in round one. Round one officially ended today. So, I'm recording this Sunday night about 10:24 local time. So, this is all of 8 hours-ish, 7.5 hours-ish, following the conclusion officially of round one. Round two tipped off Saturday. We'll discuss that, of course. But round one officially ended with game 7 of the Cavs and Magic. And it's always weird these early rounds. Whenever there's one series that goes 7 or two series that go 7, like they'll be finishing while the other series are starting. So that's always pretty weird to me. I don't know why the NBA does that overlap. But who knows? They have stuff timed out with arenas and schedules and all kind of other stuff. So they get really, they do the best they can with the schedule. It's always weird to me, like you can't wait a day or you can't wait 2 days. You know, like, it's always weird that, like, for instance, we played the first game of the second round Saturday and played the last game of the first round Sunday. Odd to me, very odd to me. But the NBA has been doing it for years. No one's really, I guess, complained enough to change it. But regardless, Cavs and Magic close their series tonight, so the round one is officially over, which means I can come in and discuss a round one that is finished. Not a lot of prediction here, but a whole lot of recap. Until we get into our prediction, of course, a little bit later, we'll talk about round two. But starting off round one, of course, we're going to go east to west. Celtics dominate. Not going to spend much time on their series. They like the best team in the series. They like the best team in the league. One problem, though, Porzingis is down with a calf injury. And it is very similar to the calf injury Giannis went through. As we know now, Giannis never played in the playoffs. He got hurt about a week or so out from the end of regular season, even with the week of the regular season ending and the play-in time and a week and a half playoff series. He said after the game he wasn't even close. So if Porzingis is experiencing the same thing, let's say he's down a month, that puts him June 5th. That puts him at the end. Puts him in the NBA Finals for his return. So his season could be over due to a calf strain. I mean, like if it's the same injury as Giannis, season could be over due to a calf strain. That is brutal for the Celtics. But we're not going to spend much time on them. We're going to spend more time on them and talk about their prediction, their second-round series, and who they're playing and who they're going against. The Knicks and Philly. We're going to spend a lot of time on definitely probably 3 series, and this is one of them. This was one of those series. This was a classic series. It went 6. I wish it would have gone 7, but it ended up going 6. The Knicks won the series in 6, but they won the series point total by 1. That's to tell you these games went down to the end every single time. There was a whole lot of stuff going on. There was the famous Tyrese Maxey mugging in the Garden that ultimately the last 2-minute report comes back and say there were multiple missed calls at the end of the game. There was Joel Embiid hitting shots all crazy. There's the famous Joel Embiid injuring Mr. Robinson. There's the infamous shot of zooming in on Joel Embiid's knee. And like there's blood coming out of it. So it's like it's already braced. I'm sure it's heavily bandaged and blood seeping through it. Like, what's going on with Embiid? There's also the Bell's palsy incident in this series. There's the Nova boys, Josh Hart hitting the game winning, hitting the game series, hitting a series winning 3 rather, after Nick Nurse very clearly strategy was to leave Josh Hart open, 30% shooter from 3 this season. It wasn't a Jalen Brunson, it wasn't a Dante DiVincenzo, you know, but the strategy clearly was to let Josh Hart shoot. It burned them in the end. I mean, this series had everything. It had the New York media, it had the New York fans. It had, because the towns are pretty close, Philly and New York, a lot of New York fans were driving to Philly. Especially if you were a Knicks fan and you didn't want to play Madison Square Garden prices, it was cheaper to drive to Philly. And so even in this next series, you guys know who won. So Philly is, New York is going to play Indiana. As of right now, it would, instead of getting a mid-level Madison Square Garden ticket, it would be cheaper to fly to Indiana, book a hotel room, and sit in the lower bowl than it would be to simply go to the game in New York. So because of which, I mean, I've been in New York City. Madison Square Garden is beautiful. I've been on, I want to see the outside. Should have done a facilities tour. Definitely gonna do it the next time. The tour times are weird. Definitely gonna do a facility tour the next time, right? It's the Mecca of basketball, right? But Madison Square Garden knows a lot of celebrities are gonna come to the game. It's the playoffs. It's New York City. It's the playoffs. A lot of celebrities are gonna come to the game, so the prices go through the roof. And so because of which, like I say, it came out that if you flew from New York to Indiana, got a hotel room and sat in the lower bowl, it's cheaper than sitting in the mid-level and staying in New York City and sitting in the mid-level. Like, that's ridiculous. But if you look at New Orleans, speaking of playoff tickets, look at New Orleans playoff tickets, they're getting prices like $30, $40 because they didn't outprice their market regardless of who's coming in town. Now, if it was against the Lakers, the tickets probably would have went insane. But, you know, because the Lakers playing game, the getting price is like $20. So definitely didn't outprice their market, but New York has price gouged the series. But anyway, back to Knicks and Philly itself. I went on a tangent about tickets. Back to the Knicks and Philly itself. It was a series where if you're Philadelphia, and we'll talk about Philadelphia later, this is a good series for you because you proved you're number two. And hear me out. The reason why Jalen Brunson is not in Dallas and Kyrie Irving's in Dallas and not the Lakers is because Rick Carlisle lost all faith in Jalen Brunson the last series. All of it. Jalen Brunson was effectively benched. And that is why he was not really given the contract he thought he deserved. Dallas really didn't step up for Brunson until New York all but stole him from their eyes in broad daylight. That's when Dallas wanted to step up. By that point, the relationship severed. Brunson's joining his father in New York City. Right? That's how we got here. That's how we arrived at this point. And all the other dominoes have to fall. Kyrie ends up with Mav. It's things happen after that, right? So, but if Philly, getting back to Philly, Philly here now has a second co-star. And they know they have a place to call Ty. His name is Tyrese Maxey. So it wasn't a bad series in Philly, but I mean, it was a classic series. It was a classic East series. It was physical. Big shots were made. New York and Philly don't like each other. You had F. Joel Embiid chance going. F. Jalen Brunson chance going. You had two teams that just battled and competed in fan base that didn't like each other. Like, it was game seven again. You talk about how it's cheaper to go if you leave New York. It would be cheaper if you to leave New York, fly to another city, stay there, get a low bowl ticket. Well, a lot of the Knicks fans, New York and Philadelphia are relatively close. They were just driving to the Sixers game. They would spend a good chunk on tickets they could never get in the Mecca, and they simply just drove to Philly. So to prevent that, one of the Philadelphia 76ers owners bought like 2,000 tickets to give out to local people in Philadelphia with proof that they're a Sixers fan. Proof that they're a Sixers fan to prevent people from New York from buying. Because, you know, X amount of tickets go to the season holders. And it's not college sports, but X amount got to go to the road team. Like, no, the rest go to general admission. So in order to stop all the Knicks fans from buying up the general admission tickets, one of the owners, I believe it was Josh Harris, bought like 2,000 of the tickets. And we're going to give them to local people in Philadelphia under the stipulation that they were 76ers fans. And so that's kind of what series it was. Like I said, the total margin of victory by score was 1 point in the favor of the Knicks. Insane series, physical series. They battled hard. Every game ended close. Like, it was a situation where they went to war for this game. It deserved a seventh. I will say that, and I will repeatedly say that it deserved a seventh game. I think mainly we deserved a seventh game because that game was ridiculous. But it does allow me to heal a little bit from your team here. Say, so I'm not that mad. But continuing to move on, Indiana upset Milwaukee. I'm going to spend a minute or so on this. Look, Indiana got the win. That's it. Congratulations to Indiana. It's their first series win since Reggie Miller's breakthrough. Congratulations, all right?
And maybe it's not, but it felt like it, right? For all those people who are discussing Doc Rivers' job future, let's talk about it. Number one, he's not getting fired. Let's just go from there. He's not getting fired. He steps down, whatever, different conversation. He's not getting fired. Number two, he took over a team in the middle of the season. Some people have said they were 30-11 when he took over. This is true. He finished below, they never got to 50 wins. This is true. What is also true is they had one of the worst offenses in the league. I believe they were 29th in the league in offense. Doc Rivers is there, they're 14th and 15th. Also, their schedule drastically improved from the beginning of the year. Also, he went into the playoffs without Giannis, as we discussed earlier. Giannis got the calf strain. He also played two games without Dame winning one of them.
Was it the masterclass of coaching that Doc Rivers, a man of his experience with those guys, was supposed to do? The answer is no. It wasn't. Was it one of the hardest jobs in the NBA to do this year? Absolutely. He went 1-1 with Chris Middleton as his number one guy in a playoff series. Like, not just a regular old game. Not like it was a couple games and Chris Middleton won one because one of them was a Tuesday night in Brooklyn. No. He won one of those games in a playoff series with Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Patrick Beverley, and Brooke Lopez. I get it. I get it. Beating up on Doc Rivers is fun. I understand. But he does not deserve that slander. It actually, to me, takes away the viability and the likability and the notoriety of the Indiana Pacers. Those guys went to work. That was a great series by them. They lost a game they shouldn't have, but they won a game they shouldn't have. So it should have ended in a six either way. That Pacers team is good. They're young. They play decent-ish defense. Ever since the movement of Buddy Hield, granted, it's not like they're, you know, the 96 Bulls. They're still highly torturable. But they play good-ish defense. Rick Carlisle's always been really good at getting an offense going with Tyrese Halliburton and the rest of that crew, Miles Turner. And the rest of that crew, they look good. You know, do I think they're going to get their head kicked in the next round? Probably. But they look good. So it's going to be a very interesting series in New York. Halliburton gets the mech on the big stage. I always feel like that's a big thing for younger, for any player, really, is to get that New York playoff game. Now, even if you're not a Knick, especially if you're not a Knick, like Trae Young became one of the biggest villains in the NBA because of what he did to the Knicks in New York. So to get that stage, to get that mountain, to get that eyeball attention is going to be huge for the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, and the rest of that crew. And then, of course, Cavs and Magic said finished today, a series that not many people, myself included, watched. I mean, I watched a good part of Game 7, but for the most part, kind of flew under the radar. They usually played in an odd time, played during a lot of the bigger matchups, played off TV. What I mean by off TV, I don't mean like literally off TV. They played on like NBA TV, True TV. Like, they didn't even get, I don't think they got ESPN until Game 6. And then they got ESPN Game 6 and Game 7. In which case, it was actually a pretty good series. Paolo Banchero is real. He's congratulations to Orlando for the next race of the franchise. He is going to carry them for a very long time. Donovan Mitchell kind of exercising a little bit of those playoff demons. I thought it was going to get dark for him in this game and the clear Cavs organization and that he would be looking to go elsewhere. He still might, but it's going to be a lot harder to get him to move just opposed to if they had lost in the first round to Orlando. Cleveland, you deserve all this comeuppance. You tampered with the standings to try and draw Orlando instead of just getting Milwaukee. And you ended up in a 7-game series. So you deserve the fact that you're going to have little to no rest, little to no game planning, and you get the Boston Celtics in round two. You deserve that. You deserve everything that happens to you in that series. Because, again, they tampered with the record. We spoke about it in the last podcast. Like, that's so messed up. Right? We're talking, this isn't, and I don't like when, you aren't trying to get the number one pick, right, where all of a sudden, we're going to purposely play terrible teams and we're going to purposely not have our best players play and anybody with a pulse has an injury or a sickness and all these G League guys that hadn't played all season, they're going to get 35 minutes tonight. Like, that's sort of nefarious activity. Well, I don't like it. Tanking's been a part of the game for a long time. There's a generation prospect out there, and the team is bad, and they realize they have a chance at said generational prospect. They begin to do things to maneuver for that prospect. Again, tanking has been a thing for a very long time. While I don't agree with it, it's almost one of the ancient arts. It's almost grandfathered in acceptance. Like, all right, it's just part of the game. Purposely maneuvering the standings in the playoffs is vile. Like, it's absolutely vile. Like, it can't be allowed to stand. It can't be one of those things that you try to grandfather in later. Because it was so messed up, you purposely maneuvered the standings to avoid a team that ultimately you would have beaten easier. And so your comeuppance is you went in a dogfight. 7 full games with the Cavs. At no point were you resting on your laurels. At no point did you have off time. You're going to have a day off, which would be Monday. And then I think you're playing game 1 on Tuesday against Boston. Congratulations. You're going to either get swept or sent home in a very quick 5. And all your maneuvering and comeuppance ultimately netted you 1 playoff series. Instead of, you could have went on the other side, played Philly, I'm sorry. Battled Embiid, would have been a struggle. I agree. But then you would have not had Boston in the second round. You could have drew New York in the second. I mean, you could have drew New York. Not New York. You could have drew, at that point, would have been, yeah, New York in the second round. Had it to have them, and didn't have to wear Boston to the third round. But instead, you get them in round 2. So everything that happens to you, Cleveland, you deserve. But hey, you got round 1, right? But let's move on to the West. Now, again, with the West, the number 1 seed absolutely dominated. And the Thunder really didn't dominate the Pelicans, my Pelicans, in the first 2 games. They didn't dominate us in game 4. They got us in game 3. We said to Charles Barkley, getting into it with the city of Galveston and Beyonce's mother. talking about drive Galveston down to that dirty water. But Pelicans are out. Hopefully, I don't have that in my rest of my notes. Hopefully, that's the end of the Zion B.I. C.J. era. Cool with Zion. 1 Zion in my franchise player. What I saw in the playing game was enough to convince me of that. Please hand the keys over to him. One of, if not both, of C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram's time in New Orleans needs to be over. We've seen enough of it. David Griffin has agreed with me. He's seen enough of it. It's time to move on, right? You've got disgruntled guys all over the league, star players, Trae Young, in different locations that I think, Donovan Mitchell, I think could be huge to partner with a Zion. I think he needs a great point guard. Trae Young, as I said, would be the ideal person in my mind. He can shoot, he can dance, he can pass. He's a 29-10 guy, 29-11 guy rolling out of bed. Like, in my opinion, he'd be perfect to play with Zion. And then, of course, you would have Trey and Herb and Zion. Then, of course, you fill in your 5th, either with Jordan Valanciunas on a great contract, or maybe another good center pops up in the trades with Ingram and C.J. McCollum. Who knows, right? But that iteration of the Pelicans is over. OKC ended that. Kudos, OKC. They're ruining the round 2. Minnesota ended Phoenix. And we're going to speak a lot more about Phoenix later. But Minnesota, Anthony Edwards has arrived. A lot of this theme has been changing of the guard in the NBA. The old guard officially handing over the crown to the new guard. We had Steph Curry, of course, not even making the playoffs. And lost to a younger team, lost to Sacramento. You see, in this series, Kevin Durant almost like nodding to Anthony Edwards, like, it's yours now. And Anthony Edwards, being Anthony Edwards, doing the DX sign, yelling at Kevin Durant, a lot of verbal stuff back and forth. He was being himself. It's part of what makes Ant-Man Ant-Man. He was absolutely enjoying his time, and like I said, dethroning one of the legends in the game, one of the living statues. It was pretty spectacular, honestly, to watch. And you got Rudy Gobert every day showing why he is worth the money. He's not a regular season numbers guy. You know, you're going to see 8, 6, and 3 in the box score and go disgusting. And then you're going to see he was a plus 24 because his defense rating in the game was something insane. You know what I'm saying? It's And that's why he's there. And it shows a lot in the playoffs. He gave Nurkic fits because Nurkic couldn't do anything under the rim because everything had to come to him. That's kind of a blessing and the curse of Gobert, is the fact that if you have an under the rim center, he's going to torture you because he's so tall and so long. He's like, it's an amazing help side defender. He can now guard two people at one time. He can guard on every drive, and he can get back to you because you have to get to the rim to score. That's why certain people torture Gobert, because if he tries to help on that drive and leaves Anthony Davis, who can shoot a mid-range shot, Jokic, who can shoot a three, or Cat, who can shoot a three, or Cat's on the team, but Cat back in the day can shoot a three. Trying to think of some other, Embiid can shoot the midi, like, he leaves that mid-range open, you kill him all day. It's like when the Clippers, a couple years ago, I believe, went small. And so they went small with five out around the perimeter, and Gobert was in a torture rack because his instinct was to 2-9 the paint and to kind of keep blocking the paint, watch for the drive, whatever. And they kept kicking the Terrence Mann, and he was raining corner threes. Got so bad, they actually played Gobert off the floor. It was insane. And so that's what Gobert wants to do. But the big three in Phoenix did not come through. Can I get a, I told you so. Am I allowed as a personal point of privilege to say I told you so? I actually gave them too much credit. Some people were responding under my old post about the big three. I actually gave them too much credit. I said they were second round and out. They were first round and out. They very well could have been swept and out. Oh, no, they were swept. Right? I don't recall Phoenix winning a game in that series. If they weren't swept, it was effectively a sweep. Actually, let me look that up because... It's been a while, too. Bracket. I'm on the ESPN app. Hope it doesn't take that long. First round. It was a sweep. Yep. Yeah, no. So they got swept by Minnesota. It was a painful changing of the guard. Kind of reminded me of when Kevin Durant was in Brooklyn and they had that team and they got swept, and you know, Minnesota swept them this time. And I mean, absolutely brutal ending to this season for Phoenix. Start off with all this hope and laughs and greatness, and it ends in a sweep. It ends in pain. Your fight to get to the sixth seed to get swept. Like, at least if New Orleans would have got the sixth seed, Zion would have been healthy. He loves playing against Minnesota, and we'll see what happens. But Phoenix went out with a whimper, and we'll talk about Phoenix a little more later when we start breaking out individual teams. The Nuggets, I have in my notes, escaped the Lakers. And yes, you're thinking 4-1 escaped? They won the series by a total of 12 points. And we spoke about how the Knicks, in a battle of 6 games, won the series by a total of 1. The Nuggets won the series by a total of 12. They lost the time in the lead by like 100 and something minutes, something like that, in the series. The Lakers had a double-digit lead in every single game, including a 20-point lead and an 18-point lead in different games, and lost them both. Like, if the Lakers simply were able to close out a game, specifically play a good third quarter, they have a chance of sweeping the Nuggets, if not beating the Nuggets by 4-1. But it said they could do neither of those things, so now they're at home watching the Nuggets play the Timberwolves in round 2. Because that is the breaks. I mean, that's the breaks. Different stuff that happened in the series kind of tilted its way to the Nuggets. They took advantage of it when they had to. If the game was close to 5 minutes left, you know it's going to be the Jokic Murray pick and roll with Aaron Gordon in the dunk spot. Look out for Michael Porter Jr. and KCP on the wings for shooting threes. I mean, that is the offense. And so the Lakers couldn't do anything about it. Kind of ran out of gas. LeBron and AD were playing so many minutes to keep them in it. Because D'Angelo Russell was useless for most of it. Austin Reeves was useless for most of it. Rui Hachimura was useless for most of it. So you got LeBron and AD, who should not be doing that at this stage of his career, specifically LeBron, playing so many heavy minutes just to keep the Lakers in it. And then, of course, you needed them to do that sort of thing. They were out of gas. And, of course, none of the others were hitting. So, yeah, it was a cluster mess. But now Denver gets the opportunity to go play the Minnesota Timberwolves. Should be a really, really, really great series. I expect that to go 7. And then the Mavericks. Oh, the Mavericks. The Kyrie and Luka-led Mavericks. Finally, and I do mean this, finally expunged or got the Clippers monkey off their back. That felt like, it almost felt therapeutic when the game was over. Like, the Dallas organization breathed. Because the Clippers were like the Grim Reaper to their success over the past couple of years. Like, oh, Dallas had this amazing run, this amazing season. Clippers in five. Like, oh, Dallas is finally going to make a move and Luka's going to enter that upper echelon of winners. Clippers in six. Like, and it just kept feeling like the Clippers were, like I said, the Grim Reaper of the Mavericks organization. Like, they're going to, like, if anybody's going to beat the Mavericks, it's going to be the Clippers. And Kyrie amazing shots and step backs from Luka and Derek Lively playing great center minutes and Kawhi Leonard, of course, being hurt again and Paul George not playing what he had, like, 1 foot out, but definitely not his most engaged series. PJ Tucker was useless. Ivica Zubac would have felt like he ran out of gas every game. And ultimately, the Clippers get the series win, and they move on. Now, we're going to talk about round two for the second time. Not nearly as many in-depth analysis as we have been going by round one. But in round two, we have Celtics versus Cavs. I spoke about it. I spoke about the Cavs segment. Congratulations, Cavs. Your victory is getting punched in the face by the Celtics. I heard the Celtics in the series in five games. The best player in the series is on the Celtics. The second best series player in the series is also arguably on the Celtics. And then the fourth best player in the series is on the Celtics. The Celtics are going to run away and hide with this series. It'll be five. They'll close it in Boston. Cavs will win game three out of pride and then get smoked in game four and five. Celtics are going to absolutely dominate this series. Congratulations to them on being in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then they will play the New York Knicks. The Knicks are going to play the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks are a better team. Jalen Brunson is better than Tyrese Halliburton. Miles Turner won't be as big an issue for Hardenstein and Mitchell Robinson as he was, as Joel Embiid was, obviously. And so that being said, that being the advantage, the Knicks are, to me, the better team. They have the better coach. They have the better home court advantage. If Knicks fans are willing to drive to Philly and they find out how cheap they can get tickets to Indiana, they might fly to Indiana. So I don't expect the Knicks to be – I expect it to be a good series, six-gamer. I expect the Knicks to be in control for most of it. Indiana has great shooting. They can get hot and win a game. Tyrese Halliburton can win a game. You know, when I always do series, I always think about, like, how many ways you can win a game. Pace to getting hot from three and Tyrese Halliburton just flat out winning you a game are the two ways that I thought about were even possible. And then, of course, an awful Knicks shooting night. But the two main ways about, you know, those are the ways they can win a game. And so, that being said, I've got the Knicks winning in six games. Minnesota is drawing Denver. This series already been in one game. Anthony Edwards went ballistic in it. 38 points, I believe. Absolutely insane what he was able to do in game one. They defeated the Nuggets in Denver in the Ball Arena. So now they have flipped home court into Minnesota. Of course, they're going to look to try and go 2-0 in Denver and really put the Nuggets behind the eight ball. A lot of the Nuggets, the game looked so similar to a Lakers game. The Nuggets started off really, really slow. And slowly but surely, they clawed their way back. And then in the end, Anthony Edwards was just too much. He was able to overcome the Nuggets, even though they fought and fought and fought late in that game. Anthony Edwards was just too much. Of course, the Michael Jordan comparisons are out everywhere. And a lot of the moves, they look very similar. I admit that. It did look very similar. And it's just Anthony Edwards is just an absolute treasure. But I expect Denver to come back, go to war. They're the defending champs for a reason. I saw they bounce back against the Lakers. They didn't have the slow start. And Michael Malone has spoken repeatedly to his team about the slow starts. Like, you're not going to always be able to come back. Minnesota's better than the Lakers. So the odds of Denver just deciding midway third quarter, all right, let's start playing now. And charging back from 18, charging back from 20, it's just not something that I expect them to be able to do on Minnesota. And so if the Nuggets are to compete for a title, they're going to have to beat Minnesota and have to find a way to slow down Anthony Edwards, especially the way he's playing right now. He's playing like a man possessed. So they're going to beat Minnesota, but they're going to have to find a way to slow him down. I don't know who's going to guard him. KCP, honestly, isn't strong enough. Gordon has to worry about the two bigs because there's Karl Anthony Towns and there's Rudy Gobert. So that leaves Michael Porter Jr., KCP, or Jamal Murray to guard Anthony Edwards. I haven't heard a good solution yet. This would Bruce Brown would have been huge for them. If Bruce Brown would have still been a Nugget, he would have been absolutely massive for them right now, guarding Anthony Edwards. But he's not there, obviously. Therefore, they're going to have to, I guess, go with KCP, and then with a lot of help defense. Michael Malone's going to have to protect KCP at any and all costs. And then Jokic is going to have to be aggressive scoring the ball. He put his career high up on Rudy Gobert when he was just decided, I'm going to be aggressive and I'm better than you and I'm going to drag you out into these waters. He's going to have to do it again. He can't play point guard. He's going to have to be a dominant scorer going to try and win off his scoring ability. And then lastly, OKC versus Dallas, a series that has taken a bit of a turn with the injury to Maxi Kleber. I still think Dallas pulls it off. SGA, Luka kind of canceled. Kyrie's the next best player. Jason Kidd, Mike Daigneault. Slight edge to Daigneault. But, you know, I have the Dallas Mavericks winning. I think Kyrie Irving and Luka are going to average combined 75 a night in this series. Who's going to come with 70 a night in this series? Who's going to come with SGA to be that next great scorer? They really didn't score the ball well against New Orleans. New Orleans is a pretty good defensive team. Dallas has been increasingly good on the defensive end. But OKC really did not shoot the ball well against New Orleans at all. So if they do that against the Mavericks are going to absolutely annihilate them because just like New Orleans, unlike New Orleans, they can actually shoot the ball consistently off the dribble. Lou Dort's going to be massively important to this series. But who does Dort get? I guess he guards Luka. But in that case, are you making SGA or Giddy guard Kyrie? Decisions on J-Dub maybe against Kyrie. Interesting decisions all the way around. We'll definitely keep an eye on that series. Again, I have the Dallas Mavericks winning the series. All right, so some quick hitters. The Philadelphia 76ers control the offseason. Why? Because they have $55 million in cap space. And the only person they have to bring back truly is Tyrese Maxey. Everybody else of importance is under contract. Why is Tyrese Maxey going to get a max contract? Why are you not counting that in? Because they don't have to. They can sign a full max free agent, plus use the full MLE, mid-level exception, plus sign Tyrese Maxey, because Maxey can sign last and use his bird rights. And he has little to no effect on the $55 million they have available to spend to them this offseason. Huge offseason for Daryl Morey and the Sixers. LeBron James could be on the move again. He is widely expected to opt out of his contract and explore his options. Some people have stated that he's going to wait till after the draft to see where Bronny goes. And if Bronny goes in a favorable location, he may move to said location. If he opts out, I'm sure the 76ers is going to want a meeting with him. I'm sure Embiid will be on the phone with him because Embiid, LeBron, and Maxey win a title. And so LeBron passed. Even 2016 or 2018, before he was going to the Lakers, he ran a lot with Ben Simmons in open runs and passed ultimately on going to Philly. Maybe he changed his mind this time with Embiid and Maxey, but we'll definitely keep our eye on that. Now, speaking of the Sixers, the Clippers era is over. It's painfully over, thankfully over, really. Paul George is expected to be moved this offseason. Kawhi Leonard's knees are a joke. And like I said, Philly has them as contract spot. You heard it here first, Paul George to Philly. It would fit perfectly. Remember when the Warriors became the Warriors, right? What happened? They presto changeoed Harrison Barnes into Kevin Durant, and nobody else moved. Like, the whole team was back, and they just took the weakness and made it the biggest strength. Because in that Cavs epic 3-1, Harrison Barnes had a lot of open three he just missed. And so, again, they presto changeoed Harrison Barnes into Kevin Durant. I think the Sixers are going to attempt to presto changeo Tobias Harris into Paul George. If that is the case, and I truly believe it's going to happen, if that is the case, the Sixers are going to win the title, barring health. Maxey's a star. Embiid's an MVP candidate. Paul George got to be the best number two in the league. Probably the best number two in the last 15 or so years. True number two. Not like a number one being a number two. Not like Dwayne Wade was number two to LeBron. Like, no. Like a true, like, he's not a one. He's a two. Paul George probably the best two in the last 15 or so years. And so, that being said, the Clippers era is over. It was kind of fun, sort of. Like, it had its moments. But now, going into this big, beautiful arena, you have no superstars. Kawhi Leonard, like I said, his knee's a mess. And I think Paul George is going to get out of that deal or get traded to Philly. Because to me, that's a great landing spot for him. He said he can just do everything Tobias Harris is doing, but, you know, actually accomplish it. And, oh, that is the situation with the Clippers. And then Phoenix is screwed. Plain and simple, chopped and screwed. Somebody called T-Pain. They are in dire trouble. Like, to the point of, because they're in the second tax apron, and they didn't win a playoff game. So, in order for to maneuver this roster, you got to go player for player, dollar for dollar. They can't do that. They don't control their own pick for like 6 years. They can't even use second round picks on the trade or the buyout market. A lot of people saying trade Bradley Beal. You can't, because he's owed 50 some odd million dollars next year. You got to go player for player, dollar for dollar. So you can't even say, oh, we're going to get four or five players because I'm going to make 50. Doesn't work. You have to get four people. Like, the bigger trades are going to be very impossible if you're in the second apron, because again, you got to go player for player, dollar for dollar. So there's hardly anybody that can maneuver that many stipulations and that many rules all at one time. But Phoenix is screwed. No draft control until I believe 2030. Way into the second apron, so you can't really maneuver your roster. It's brutal in Phoenix right now. But up next, we're going to transition to the WNBA and talk about what's going down there. Welcome in, back into the show. Pretty long-winded NBA segment. Kind of realized I had a lot to talk about. When I looked up, I thought we had 30 minutes in Block A. Promise you, Block B won't be that long. The goal, again, is to keep these shows about an hour. Kind of when the average attention span kind of phases out, especially if I'm hearing one voice. But we're going to jump into the WNBA and just kind of touch quickly on what's going on. So the WNBA preseason is opening up. We're getting our first look at a lot of the rookies. Caitlin Clark, Camila Cardoza, Rekia Jackson, Cameron Prink, Angel Reese, Jaylen Brown. We're getting our first look at that 2024 rookie class. The draft class. Not necessarily, I'm going to speak about Jaylen Brown in a second, but not necessarily her. But again, your Caitlin Clark, your Cameron Brinks, your Camila Cardozas, your Rekia Jacksons, your Angel Reese's, your Nika Mules. We're getting that group. We're finally seeing them on the WNBA court. They all look really weird in the WNBA uniforms. Like, Caitlin looks like she belongs in Indiana. Cameron, like, she belongs on the Sparks jersey. But, like, seeing Angel Reese and, like, Sky Gear was a little weird. Because I watched her so heavily at LSU, seeing her in a different jersey was, like, odd, right? But all in all, the games translated the ends of the games. So, speaking of Caitlin versus Angel, first off, we know that's going to be the rivalry. Like, the NBA had Magic versus Bird. And it kind of, well, it saved the NBA, and then it propelled the NBA for a lot of reasons. Number one, white versus black. Then it was the 80s. Then both sides of the argument had a star. You had black guys that love Larry Bird. You had white guys that love Magic. But both guys had a star. It was East Coast versus West Coast. You know, it was like everything that was, it was perfect. You had rough, tough, physical Boston. You had Showtime Lakers. I mean, it was like it was a perfect rivalry, right? And in college basketball, you had something similar with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. A lot of the same lines that were drawn in the sand were drawn again in that rivalry. Again, black people, some black people love Caitlin Clark. Some people were Team Angel Reese. But regardless, a lot of the similar lines were drawn. Though, so, similar to what the NBA wanted to happen as they were coming into the league in that national championship game and even entering the league, the NBA wanted Larry Bird to be the face. Just, hey, Magic had to earn it, right? Like, the NBA wanted Larry Bird to be the face. The WNBA wants Caitlin Clark to be the face. Who ended up being the face of the NBA in the 80s? Magic. Yeah, Larry. Like, Larry had a great success. It was Magic. That was the face of the NBA. Magic and Larry. Magic and Larry. Magic's name was always first. Magic was the face. Magic was the A-side. You know how you talk about a fight? There's an A-side, there's a B-side. Magic was the A-side. You need both for the fight. You need both to have the purse. You need both to whatever. Magic's the A-side. In the 80s, Bird won 3. Magic won 5. I'm sorry, between 79 and 90. Bird won 3 and Magic won 5. Out of the 11-year span, Isaiah Thomas sprinkled in 1. Dr. J gets 1 in the 80s. But Isaiah Thomas sprinkled in 2, I'm sorry. Magic Johnson gets 1 in the 80s. Regardless. Dr. J gets 1 in the 80s, I'm sorry. Regardless, you needed both people to be successful. But it became clear who the A-side was. The WNBA is in football infancy. Or not football infancy, Jesus. They're in sports league infancy. What I mean by that is, they've only been in business 27 years, right? Like, they haven't even gone anywhere near they're going to go, right? But the WNBA needs a superstar. The WNBA hadn't had a transcendent star in a while. And what I mean by transcendent is that crosses into non-sports, into different communities, into different cultures, into different platforms. They haven't had that in a while, right? And so Caitlin Clark became the poster child, became the face. Because of which they are protecting her. She had 21 points in her WNBA debut. Not bad at all. Pretty impressive. I believe the leading scorer last year was in the low 20s. As this is not the NBA, the WNBA has 40 minutes out of 48. The game was naturally slower. Not a lot of bomb threes. It's just a slower paced game, right? And so Caitlin Clark had 21 points. And all the pages were going crazy about her. And, oh my gosh, she's amazing. And who says she's going to struggle in the W and blase, blase, blase. Then you deep dive. She shot 6 of 15, including 4 for 13 from 3. Not great, not great. What makes it worse is she made her first 4 shots. So her last 11 shots, she only made 2 of them. Again, not great. Look, I get it. I understand. Caitlin Clark's what you need to sell. I understand. I'm not against it. It actually is going to help. But also elevate your other stars as well. There's another rookie in the game, Jaylen Brown, who scored 21 points on the wings. And the wings actually won the game. But I say this to start promoting your other stars as well. For instance, like an Angel Reese. And I saw this online broken down with the WNBA had Caitlin Clark's game in as many places as possible, right? They didn't even have the League Pass access to the WNBA game with the Chicago Sky with Angel Reese. However, the ticket count will tell you that Dallas sold 6,200 tickets for the debut of Caitlin Clark. Meanwhile, the Chicago Sky game had 7,000 people in it. A random Twitter account who decided to stream the game hit like 2 million views or something insane like that behind the game, behind the Angel Reese game. Caitlin Clark's number didn't do that. So it's kind of where The WNBA has to see and see quickly. Look, we get it. Caitlin Clark's going to appeal to a certain part of the country very strongly. However, the rest of the country is huge fans of the game, but Angel Reese. Don't be like the NBA. When they realized that they had a A-side that wasn't the A-side they planned, they pivoted. And he became the A-side. He became the star attraction. He became the main piece. So the WNBA is watching. Caitlin Clark needs to be on the CD. But she ain't got to be the A-side all the time. Because to be honest, she's not yet. She started off great. She shot 6 of 15. And a vast majority of her shots still going left. Yeah, the one time she went right and made it, she came to a complete dead stop at the mid-range level before shooting a jumper. You know, she's the queen of fading and falling and twisting. She came to a complete stop, like a stop sign. She just froze and then calmly shot a jumper. I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible coverage by the WNBA media. Not the WNBA itself. League Pass sucks. But there were 17,000 fans sold out again in the Canada game, which is why I think Toronto has to get a WNBA team. They show out every single time the WNBA is up there. Sold out, I mean, 17,000 strong for the debut of Cameron Brink with the Sparks. Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson with the Sparks against the return of Skylar Diggins-Smith for the Seattle Storm, along with several others, including Jewel Lloyd and Nneka Agumake is now on the Storm as well. So huge, huge moment for them in Canada, again with the 17,000 fans. Candace Parker is retiring. She retired a couple weeks back. The Aces had this like funeral for her at her locker. She's the reason I started watching girls basketball, you know? She's when I got into it. I won't dive too far into it, but like I used to try to steal all her moves, and I taught myself how to shoot like her, and so kind of a sad day for me. It's kind of one of those man you're getting old moments. And I don't think I'm getting old. I'm turning 27 on Wednesday. Like, I don't think I'm getting old. But it is one of those man you're getting up there moments. Like, somebody you remember clearly at Tennessee in college, played an entire 16-year career and then retired, and you're like, yeah, I remember that, like all of it. Like, I remember the Rookie of the Year and the MVP. Like, I remember the dunks. I remember finally getting through with the LA with Nneka Agumake. I remember the epic finals run with Chicago. Like, I remember all that, right? Like, I remember when your daughter's being born. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember all that, and it's just kind of like, now it's over, right? So pretty sad, but congratulations on a hell of a career. No doubt, first ballot Naismith Hall of Famer. She's going to do great on TNT or wherever she decides to be. I can see her in the front office of a team one day, Chicago specifically. I can see Dwayne Wade bringing her in the ownership group of Chicago Sky. But again, tremendous, absolutely tremendous career to Candace Parker. Kudos to you. I won't even slander how bad League Pass is so far in this segment, because Candace deserves more than that. So kudos to Candace Parker again on a spectacular career. You did it your way. You announced it your way. You didn't want some pomp tour. You just put it out on Instagram, and that was it. So again, kudos to Candace Parker on an amazing career. But up next, we're going to jump into Jack's Hot Take, which is going to be a chat about Deion Sanders. Who Welcome back into the show. And now we're going to talk about Deion Sanders and his recent social media activity. So apparently, in his words, he had time one day, and former transfer came out and spoke about how basically Deion, if you're not one of his kids or one of his chosen ones, basically, he didn't even know your name. Like, he didn't know my name. And at one point, he took off the social media handle because Deion allows the practice jerseys for the Buffaloes to have their social media handle going across the back. NIL stuff, marketing stuff, whatever. But it allows it to go across the back. So your player was saying that at one point after it was mentioned he could enter the portal, he planned to enter the portal, he was still practicing. Deion took off the social media and put the transfer portal's social media on in the nameplate instead. You know, and the person that did it, somebody put their stats up and was like, yikes. And then the guy who they were talking about, who was the whistleblower, ended up putting the stats up of Shador and say he had more pass deflections. Somebody then went at Deion kind of side. But anyway, so it ultimately ends up at Deion on Twitter saying that his son's going to be a top 5 pick. Where will your son be? And then saying something along the lines, I got time today. Deion Sanders is so good for college football. Ridiculous. At every level. For one, he is a guy that you can tell has a reserve amount of confidence, right? He truly believes, if you show it to me, I can do it. And so I need to be shown the path. And so he's so great for college football because that kind of attitude doesn't exist often in the college game. And a lot of it wants to be handed to him or whatever. But Deion wants to work for everything he's got. And he ended up going back and forth with a couple fans. Didn't necessarily love that. But that kind of interaction, that kind of closeness, that kind of I'm able to reach out and talk to the Colorado head coach on Twitter is the kind of thing that is so good for college football in this new era. He's embraced NIL. He's embraced the transfer portal. He has been very openly about how he likes this era of college football, and I think it's huge. I think it's going to help usher a lot of the old guard out. He's going to be seen as a real OG of the newer generation of coaches coming in college football that, okay, that's how the portal's how it works now. Cool. NIL is the name of the game. Great. You know, like, and they're able to just maneuver and come with it, and I think that's going to help usher out a lot of the old guard that still don't really embrace any of the stuff. And then Nick Saban got out because he didn't embrace it, right? Brian Kelly talks about the fact that he has to kind of alter how he does business because of the NIL and the transfer portal. So that is definitely something that is changing every day. Deion Sanders is great for college football. Anybody who's otherwise can kiss a butt. He is doing absolutely spectacular things in Colorado, and I can't wait to see them this season. But that is all I have for today. Like, rate, and subscribe to the Justin Time Sports Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget to follow or subscribe and turn on the post notifications for Justin Time Sports YouTube page, which has the JTS After Dark episodes on them. I hope you guys enjoy the show. This is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.